The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. Jesus spoke to his disciples, "As the days of Noah were, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day Noah entered the ark, and they knew nothing until the flood came and swept them all away, so too will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then two will be in the field, the one will be taken, and the one will be left. Two women will be grinding meal together, one will be taken, and one will be left. Keep awake, therefore, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake, and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour." The Gospel of the Lord. By the words of the Holy Gospel, may our sins be blotted away. Please be seated. As I mentioned at the beginning of Mass, the first Sunday of Advent is our New Year's Day. For the Church, January 1st is not the beginning of a new year. The first Sunday of Advent begins our new year. And it's not simply a time of preparation for Jesus' birth at Christmas. It's actually preparation for his second coming in glory. It's the beginning for us of a cycle of graces. We call our church year the year of grace. And what that means is that over the course of these months, in ways that you're already very familiar with, we are going to pass through the events of Jesus' life. We don't commemorate them as historical anniversaries, because historical anniversaries largely remember people who are dead. But Christ is not dead. He lives at the right hand of the Father in heaven, the life of the resurrection. And so when we, as the church, commemorate and pass through the events of his life by which he saved us, a new grace is given from those events to change us, to transform us, to affect our lives, and to give us divine life, the life of grace. So this is a dynamic time for us. And we do this year after year, again and again, so that we can slowly make that ascent, that progress. We can advance in grace. We can climb that mountain and come to the heights of heaven. We come to the New Jerusalem, a mountain higher than any other, because it's paradise. Now, to do this, you and I have to listen carefully. We listen to what the church teaches, and we also listen to the voice of Jesus within us, who speaks to us and calls us to do those things that we need personally in order to change, in order to repent, in order to grasp more fully and receive more abundantly his life, his love, his truth. We've been created for this. Our souls have an ability to know conceptually that is not limited to the physiology of our brain. Our brain processes things through the senses. That's called perceptive thinking. It's organic. But we also have conceptual thinking. And that can't be explained just by physiology. That's part of our soul. And with this knowledge, we can conceive of things like love, truth, goodness, beauty, home with God. This is what we've been created for. And when we don't live for these things and mindful of these things, we're unhappy, we're unfulfilled, and we're frustrated. So each year, we have to make an effort to do better in listening, in hearing, and putting into practice what Jesus has given us, in receiving the gift of himself, so that we can find our truest selves and be renewed and recreated in his image and likeness. To do this, we have to be aware that it's easy for us to take things for granted, to think that we know, when in fact our knowledge is very imperfect. And especially today, we're living in a time of a great deal of what I call junk religion. Of late, the media have been looking at fake news stories that filled the airwaves during the recent American election and the campaign leading up to it. And it's astonishing to see how people were deceived by fake news stories. Well, in the same way, many people have false understandings of their religion, of religion in general, of who God is and who religious people think they're supposed to be. And even among Catholics, there's been a regrettable, truly regrettable, and astonishing loss of understanding. As I was reading the gospel today, many of you were probably thinking, one will be taken, one will be left. Two will be in the field, one taken, one left. Two grinding corn, one taken, one left behind. Oh, that's the rapture. That's the gospel describing the rapture. No, it isn't. We don't believe in the rapture. No one believed in the rapture until about 1830. It's something that comes out of American Protestantism. It's believed by fundamentalists, and only a very small group of fundamentalists. But we hear about it a great deal on television, televangelists, and also various TV shows that are dealing with the supernatural, largely created by Hollywood writers. You have to know what your faith promises you and what it doesn't. You've got to be religiously aware and intelligent. So one of the things that we pledge at the beginning of this year, as we look at ourselves and ask, what do I need to do? What do I need to pursue? What do I need to change in my relationship with Christ so that my relationship also with others can be what I want it to be? We have to say to the Lord, Lord, I want to understand my faith better, and I want to live it more fully, and I want to grow in my relationship with you. So during these 4 weeks before Christmas, the church looks to the longing of the people of the Old Testament awaiting a Savior, so that we can reflect upon the fact that we have a Savior, but oftentimes we don't live the way we should. We don't live as if we had a Savior. We don't live as if we had a friend and advocate at the throne of God in heaven. That's what St. Paul is saying in his epistle to the Romans. He's saying, brothers and sisters, you know what time it is. You're awake. You've been awakened by Christ. The rest of the world is asleep, and it's in a nightmare. You're not part of that nightmare. Live differently. Live honestly. Live generously. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh. Now, what we believe that St. Paul is saying here is that he was writing at a time when the Romans were having festivities in which they wore costumes and engaged in all kinds of behavior, similar to Mardi Gras or Carnivale in some parts of the world, the wildest expressions of Mardi Gras and Carnivale, and maybe spring break in Florida. Paul is saying to the Christians, don't put on masks and costumes. You've clothed yourself in Christ because of your baptism. That's what you need to wear. You need to wear him, show him, be clothed in him. Do not quarrel, do not be rivalrous with each other, but live honorably. That too should be part of our New Year's resolution. So with these thoughts, the church begins this holy season so that we can all begin again afresh to benefit from the greatest blessings of our faith and to live them in a spirit of gratitude, courage, passion, and commitment. And in this way, we attach ourselves to Christ ever more strongly. And because this season that recalls his birth is one that opens the hearts of even the most Scroogey of personalities, it is a chance for us. It is a chance for us to start afresh and for many people to start for the first time.